the word and the way he made it multi-eye. The rooms were small, the elevator was narrow, the lobby was tiny, the bar was just a nook. "Not small," Buddy said. "You're peen." I had gotten to these green mute islands, humbled and broke again. My brain blocked, feeling superfluous, out of the writing business, and trying to start all over at the age of 49. A friend of mine recommended me to Buddy Hamstra. I applied for this job. It wasn't for material. It was the money. I needed work. "My manager's a typical local howley, a retard," Buddy said. "Fondles the help, always cockroaching booze, sniffs around the guest rooms." "That's not good," I said. "And this week he stepped on his dick." "Not good at all." "He needs therapy," Buddy said. "He's got lots of baggage." "Maybe that's what he likes about the hotel, that he has a place to put it." Buddy sucked his teeth and said, "That's kind of funny." The idea of rented bedrooms attracted me. Shared by so many dreaming strangers, every room was vibrant with their secrets, like furious dust in a sunbeam. Their night sweats, the stammering echoes of their voices and horizontal fantasies, and certain ambiguous odors, the left-behind atoms and the residue of all the people who had ever stayed in it. The hotel bedroom is more than a symbol of intimacy. It is intimacy's very shrine, scattered with the essential paraphernalia and familiar fetish objects of its rituals. Assigning people to such rooms? I believed I was able to influence their lives. Buddy Hamstra was a big, blaspheming, doggy-eyed man in drooping shorts, a wheezy smoker, and heavy drinker. His nickname was Tuna. He was most people's nightmare, a reckless millionaire with the values of a delinquent and a bark-like laugh. He liked saying, "I'm a crude sumbitch." He was from the mainland, Sweetwater, Nevada, but he pretended to be worse than he was. He had the sort of devilish gaze that showed a mind in motion. "What's yours, drink or weed?" We had met in his hotel bar. He had a cocktail in one hand and a cigarette in the other. "I got some killer buds," he said. "Beer for me." We talked idly about his tattoos, a forthcoming eclipse of the sun, the price of gas, and the source of the weed he was smoking, before he got down to business, and he asked suddenly, "Any hotel experience?" "I've stayed in a lot of hotels." He laughed in his barking way. And then, out of breath from the laughter, he went slack-jawed and gasped blue smoke. Finally, he recovered and said, "Hey, I've known a lot of assholes, but that doesn't make me a proctologist." I admitted that I had no experience running a hotel, that I was a writer, had been a writer. Every enterprise I had run in my head. I hated telling him that. I mentioned some of my books because he asked, but nothing registered. That pleased me. I did not want to have a past. "You're probably great at thinking up names," he said, "being as you're a writer." "That's part of the job." "Part of the hotel business, too. Naming your restaurants, your lounges, your function rooms, naming the bar." His mention of the bar made me look up and see that we were sitting in Momi's Paradise Lounge. Buddy drank, held the booze in his mouth, frowned, then swallowed and said, "The manager here is a complete bozo. Dangerous, too."
"In what way dangerous?"
"Has an argument with a guest, right? The guest storms out. When he comes back, he finds that the manager has bricked up his doorway, sealed the whole room off. What he was saying was, it's the guest's room, but it's our doorway."
I tried to imagine a guest opening the door and seeing fresh bricks where there should have been an opening.
"Another guest, a real pain, granted. This manager put some goldfish in his toilet so he couldn't use it, but the guest flushed it, and so the manager filled the whole bathroom with industrial foam."
Buddy sipped his drink, looking thoughtful.
"Someone asked him, 'What's your problem?'